Welcome back to The Wine Show Australia. You are with Jill Upton. And next we are going to speak with Savannah Peterson, a frequent friend of the show, over in the Hunter Valley. Savannah, have we got you on the line?
Yes. Hi, Jill. How are you going?
I am well, mate. How are you?
I am good, good. Busy, but fantastic.
That's the way it should be. So busy because you're still finalising vintage, or what's going on?
We're still definitely in the swing of vintage. We still have fruit coming in from Mudgee, and hopefully in a week or two we'll start picking some of our cold climate fruit from Armidale.
Ah, okay, I love it. So, you know, we had John the Pom on the show 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about you.
Oh, I didn't
know. Yes, so we did. We did. I hadn't had him on for quite a while, and so Simon and I were interviewing him, and Simon mentioned that he had heard that you had done this wine and pie pairing, and that's why I called you and said, it sounds fun, let's get you on. But yeah, we had John on, and we were talking about Armidale and the wines there. So can you give us a little bit more info? Because I know it's an area that people get quite surprised that actually produces lovely fruit.
Yeah, look, it's a really difficult area to grow grapes. But when we do get a nice vintage, when the weather behaves, it is absolutely beautiful. So producing some really beautiful, cool climate varieties like Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot. We have 5 clones of Pinot up there. And, yeah, like I said, when we get it, it is beautiful. But unfortunately, we have to battle through hail and frost and wind and a lot of bird life. So it's difficult. We had hail last Friday, and some of the whites were a little affected, but so far most of the whites are pretty good and all the reds are looking beautiful. So touch wood, it's actually our 20th vintage there this year, which is really exciting.
That is impressive, and God, it is a labour of love, isn't it? Worth it when it turns out, but 20 years. So how have you seen it? I mean, you're kind of too young to have been doing it 20 years ago, but how have your parents seen it, seen that area evolve over those 2 decades?
I think definitely it's, like you said, it's a surprising area for a lot of people. So I guess the nicest thing is the openness to trying all these different wine regions, and, yeah, people being really pleasantly surprised when they go up there. I mean, some of the Rieslings I've had from that property, the aging potential of them are just incredible. And that really beautiful European style Riesling with the nice sort of kerosene nose and beautiful, beautiful Pinot Noir. I think I've told you this before, Jill, I'm not a big Pinot Noir girl myself, following my dad's footsteps. But we have had some incredible, big, meaty, gutsy Pinots come from that property. And, yeah, it's interesting. Every year I think we're just trying to – you can never stop learning and you can never stop improving. And, you know, every year it's, like I said, a battle with something different. So different ways that we've sort of done some canopy management to deal with the frost, or things like burning barrels in between every second row. Dealing with the bird life, we're constantly learning and always, taking on new ways to manage that vineyard to get the best out of the fruit.
Yeah, sure. You actually keep mentioning that the bird life. I didn't realise they were actually quite as difficult. But I guess, you know, we've got a lot of, like, there's orchards and that sort of stuff up there, and I guess what they can do with the orchards makes it really hard with what you guys have to do. Okay.
It's the only vineyard that we really have to net. And do a bit of, maintenance with birds. So, yeah, it's only vineyard that we really have to, it's everything from lorikeets and magpies and corellas, and it's everything.
It's everything. So you can't just get out a few scarecrows?
Well, unfortunately not. We've tried a few different things, and there's disco balls and there's gas guns but at the end of the day it's a bird net and then the occasional shotgun.
That's right. They are tenacious creatures. Well, it's wonderful to hear, though, that you are getting some beautiful fruit. And so it's looking like a relatively decent vintage from Armidale this year.
Yes, at the moment, yes.
The rain can stay away
and we can keep it nice and dry. My dad was up the other morning. They were doing a little bit of hand-picking of some of the whites. Just a few ton, and he said that in the morning it was so misty and so foggy, it may as well have been raining. That's how wet it was. So if we can steer away from a few of those mornings and keep it nice and dry, which it has been, we should be fine.
Yeah, good. Now, look, I'm aware we don't have you for a long time, probably only about another 12 or so minutes. So
this is our problem, though. We can talk forever, can't we?
I love it. So when you need to go, you just let me know. But let's touch on that fun part, which is the whole wine and pie pairing. Where did the idea come from? What's going on? And then give us all the best pairings. Sunday's a great time to get a pie.
Yeah, I would love to say that it was all my original idea, but, you know, all good ideas are started somewhere else. So I actually had a member a few years ago come up to me at a wine show, and I was saying that we were heading off to Canberra to do, was it a Taste of Canberra or one of the big events down there. And they said, yeah, when you go down, you need to stop in the Southern Highlands and go to Cherry Tree Hill. It's one of our favourite wineries and blah, blah. So, okay, great. We've never been there before. It was myself and Kurt, my cellar door manager, who you've met before. And we were heading down and we saw they were doing pie and wine tasting. And as you know, I'm a very big foodie. Food and wine is sort of my life. It's my personality. But I don't think that all food and wine pairing has to be, you know, super gourmet, beautiful, big restaurants. It can be as simple as, like I've said multiple times, fried chicken and champagne is one of my favourite combinations. We were down there. Unfortunately, we actually missed, it was a Thursday, and didn't have any of the tastings going, but we saw them and there were these really cute little, you know, photos of them, gourmet mini pies. Anyway, skip forward a few months later, and at one of our restaurants, Bome at the Benin Cellar Door, we employed a lovely chef, his name is Steve Bampton. He's actually the original owner of Euro Patisserie in Newcastle and Sweet Poison. And he, I mean, besides making my father's diabetes a lot worse and my thighs a lot bigger, he is an incredible chef. He is absolutely wonderful. Love everything he does. And he said, you know, I want to start doing some pies and sausage rolls. We can sell them in the cellar doors. And then I thought, oh, let's copy that wonderful idea at Cherry Tree Hill and do our own spin on it. So we make all of our own pies in-house and we actually use all of our own wines in the pies to match.
Yeah, beautiful. So give us some examples.
So at the moment, we're actually about to step our game up, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But for the traditional tasting, we do a lovely chicken and leek pie, and that's made with our Savannah Estate Denman Chardonnay. So really nice, you know, creamy, silky, buttery, and it's also paired with the Chardonnay as well. On arrival, though, first, you have a glass of bubbles because it's the best palate cleanser. And then after the chicken leek pie, we have the beef steak and jus, which is paired with our sparkling Zinfandel. And that was the star for a little bit, like, oh, do you really want to put the sparkling in there? But as you know, I sort of pride myself on red sparklings, and I think they're just such an amazing wine to pair with food. And they're something that you don't normally come across. So, yeah, the really beautiful, juicy, berry kind of notes just work really well with the richness of the pie.
I could imagine.
Then we have beef and green peppercorn, so a nice spicy one to go with our Hunter Valley Tempranillo, which is off our Benin property, so the original Lindemans property. And then a beautiful, rich beef and mushroom to go with our Hunter Valley Shiraz.
Perfect.
And all of those wines, like I said, all of those pies contain our wines. And yeah, Steve and I had a chat and we just talked about what would go well and what would be popular and what was something that could bring out both sort of the expressions of the pie and the wines. And it works so well. And it's been so popular now that we are looking into, we've had requests for gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian. So we're going to start playing with some things like Mexican beans or chickpeas or... something friendly for everybody.
Yeah. Go the legumes. Look, it sounds very fun. I'm with you, by the way, on put a sparkling Shiraz with pie. I think that makes, sparkling red, and that's going to work beautifully. I've always been a fan of your sparkling Malbec, and it's the only sparkling Malbec I've ever had. I haven't found one elsewhere. Tell us, are you still making that?
Yes, we are. It's definitely one of our most popular sort of cult wines. So we've actually taken that off the list for the moment. But if you come in and request it, of course, we'll pull it out. Something we want to keep a few back of because it ages so well. So we've had, you know, the 2008 Malbec, we've had the 18, a 20, and I think we're up to a 21 now. or 22. And then, of course, we've got our Zinfandel on at the moment, our sparkling Zinfandel, which we'll still keep making some different reds. But yeah, the Malbec's a staple that we always want to have a bit in the cellar somewhere.
Yeah, as you should. The Zinfandel's fantastic as well. So actually on that, we've got Easter coming up, of course, and a bit early this year, isn't it? So it's like the end of March. I'm actually going back to good old Tamworth Town for 2 weeks.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. Are you going to be around? Because I'm thinking of just popping down for a night.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be very busy because we've actually just opened up my new cellar door yesterday. So it was an unofficial, gentle, very, very soft opening yesterday. I was unannounced. It was basically just, you know, if there's staff and myself were in there cleaning and pottering around, we may as well serve and sell some wine. So, this is the sort of unofficial opening weekend. But next weekend is, I guess, the big trial run before Easter at the end of the month. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. I can't wait to see it. So tell us, what does it look like? What's the experience? Tell us all about it.
It's a fantastic concept. I think like the building for me really represents, I guess, where Savannah Estate has come from and where it is now and how hard we've worked to get there. We actually laid the slab for it about, I think, 5 years ago, but obviously COVID and then the cost and the demand for builders and the cost of materials has all kind of pushed things back a little bit. So finally, we're finally up. Like classic my dad, whenever he starts building something, it always might take a while to start. But then once it starts, it's up overnight. So that's basically what's happened. It was sort of middle of last year we really got things going. The most beautiful aspect of the building is that I think about probably 10 or 12 years ago, my dad purchased some, it would have looked like a bunch of old rubble, but it was actually fallen bricks from an old winery in Lochinvar called the Kaluta Winery. And all of these bricks were actually handmade by convicts. So he bought those years ago wanting to do something with them eventually. And, you know, like I said, it was just a pile of bricks, but they are absolutely beautiful, amazing old exposed bricks, all handmade. Something that my dad, one of his better ideas, and it's really come through. It just looks incredible. And there's lovely old Australian hardwood exposed beams, lots of rafters, and it's in a bit of a busier spot. So the original cellar door is over at Mount View, which if you go over that way, St. Peterson's, Briar Ridge, Sadler's Creek, Bistro Molinaise, you'd know all of those.
Yes, they're fantastic.
You drive past it, but it is a bit of a quieter part of the valley, so the new cellar door is actually on Broke Road, which is it's the golden mile. It's right up from Peterson House, and it's on the Blackslands property, and right next to Lisa McGuigan. So, lots happening.
Yes, near Van. But you are right. Yeah. That is that's like a prime real estate there on Broke Road. I understand Peterson's opened up there. Their cellar door there as well after having the original. Now, the original's so beautiful and that whole Mount Broke area, the views are absolutely unbelievable. But it is a bit off the beaten track and therefore not as many people get up there. So, So you've completely relinquished the other tasting room?
No, definitely not. It's good. I think for myself, especially within our business, that's sort of where I really stepped up and started to take things over and made that my own. And there's no way I could part with it. I mean, look, it's a bit of a daggy old cellar door, but I love it. And we've just created so many special moments there, and we've worked so hard all through COVID doing our virtual wine tastings and, bringing on amazing new staff and different labels and wine. There's too many memories there and too many wonderful members have signed up there, and yeah, there's no way I could get rid of it. It's a staple, and we'll definitely keep it open. I'm just hoping that the new one brings in a lot more foot traffic and that some people walking past and start opening us up to a newer audience.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I'm very happy to hear that you'll still keep. Like, I agree with you. You've got to. It's where it all began. So
exactly.
This is all wonderful.
Oh, no, sorry, I was going to say, it's just like Peterson's Mount View. When we opened up Peterson's on Broke Road, the one that you're just referring to, people said, oh, would we shut it? And there's no way we'd ever shut Peterson's Mount View. I mean, that's where my grandparents and my dad started everything. And it didn't at all affect the sales or the traffic up at Mount View. All it did, like I said, is increase newer foot traffic and newer people and newer members. So that's what I'm hoping, touch wood, happens with my new place.
And it actually is a smart way to do it, because having those two very different locations, because they do attract a different person. For example, someone who has more time, who actually does want to be off the beaten track, only wants to visit a few, you might go to, you know, say Bistro Molinet for lunch, but just do, you know, Talavera Grove and Peterson's or Savannah, then that's perfect. If you've got people who are a bit more time restrained, who just want to stay in the more commercial part of it, then there's a huge market for that, huge, but you kind of need to be part of it. So congratulations on this. So great timing to get you on to be sharing the love, and I look forward to seeing that in just a couple of weeks. When I'll drop you a note and let you know when.
Oh, absolutely! And you'll have to do the pie and wine tasting, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. So I know I've only got a couple more minutes. I have been asked by so many people where they can find Peterson Wines. So Savannah and Peterson Wines, and I often like what you do. So I'm a member, and so I get sent them. I always go and visit when I possibly can, when I'm in Mudgee or Hunter. But you don't actually sell through retail stores, do you?
We don't sell it in any of the big bottle shops, so none of the sort of chain ones, just purely because we don't make enough to keep up that constant supply, and our first and foremost, I guess, importance is obviously our members. So we do sell in some little boutique bottle shops, more family-owned ones, or places that we, you know, it's no trouble if we sell a few cases of one wine, then have to swap to another variety like a few months later. So there are a few places, but actually John the Pom, who you spoke to, he's going to be taking on a lot more wholesale. I guess in the past few years, just with COVID and obviously, you know, we've had a few consecutive years where vintages have been slightly down in tonnage, and during that sort of COVID period, wine sales dramatically increased while people weren't going overseas. They weren't spending money on big, you know, elaborate things like cars or holidays, but they were coming to the Hunter and they were buying lots of wine. So we just didn't have the supply. But this year, that's something we're definitely starting to, we're going to start changing and start focusing more on, getting some more wines around. And we've got some new, not reps, but actually people that work for us, for our family company in Brisbane now. So you'll definitely see a lot more up there as well.
That is music to my ears and to my friend's ears. I know Anne just specifically has been asking after your bubbles and Chardonnay. And so it's good to know. And I actually do like that you don't sell through the big bottle stores. I love your boutique-ness. The wines are amazing. So everyone's got to give them a go. But first and foremost, go along to the new cellar door in the Hunter Valley. Do the trip up Melbourneites. Like, seriously, whether you've been there before, it's just the Hunter Valley is always a great weekend away. And I know Easter will be busy, but it'll be a fun time to be up there.
Absolutely.
And I've got a few people to say hello to.
It's actually probably, I mean, February is always a quieter month. We start to pick up definitely around Easter, but just Cozy lives, cost of living. It's definitely nowhere near as busy in the Hunter at the moment. So I would say it is the perfect time to come. Tourism is down a little bit and we can't wait to welcome more people back. We're all eagerly biting at the bit to have, you know, groups and groups come in, and we can't wait to show everybody how special the Hunter Valley is. And it's the perfect time to come, especially now that we're getting over that scorching heat. It's starting to cool down a little bit now.
Yes. I was about to say, it's actually, from a temperature perspective, probably the best time to go. It's not too hot and hasn't started getting too cold either. If I've only got you for one more minute, I just would like to ask if you did anything to celebrate International Women's Day on Friday.
Do you know what? I didn't even realise, because in typical Peterson style, I usually always do, but typical Peterson style, we didn't have any furniture in the new cellar door. We didn't have any the front glass doors. Only were put on at 2 p.m. The bar was finished being built at 3 p.m. and I've had my first corporate group in at 4 p.m. So, it was the concrete floors literally were finished being polished that morning. So, No, my whole team and I were very busy from sort of 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night working away, and everyone said, what's the rush? And I thought, well, why not? I'm excited. I've waited so long for this to finally be open. May as well get it going. So, no, we were all very, very busy. I did go out to dinner with my close team, though. So one of my new sales manager, Aaron, actually, Kurt, who you know, who's in sales and marketing now, and lovely Ruth, who's always at Savannah Estate, Philidor. So it was a bit of a celebration. We had a bowl of Paul Roger and went out for dinner and tried the new menu at Beaumé, and it was more of a celebration of what we'd all achieved as a team with the new Philidor. So.
I think that's an excellent excuse. By the way, Beaumé, is that a restaurant that I should be checking out for lunch whilst I'm there?
Oh, absolutely. So we purchased the Benin property about 7 years ago now. We've had Beaumé up and running since then, and it's a local favourite. It's one of the busiest venues in the Hunter, restaurants in the Hunter, and local favourite, but also loved by all our visitors. It's a sharing concept, so it was a little bit more Mediterranean sort of style, but now the new menu change, we're sort of focusing modern Australian. The soft shell crab is my new favourite dish. It's beautiful. It's Nok Nam sauce, a Thai sauce that our chef's made, and it's incredible. So definitely try that while you're there.
That actually sounds amazing. I'll have to make a reservation. Well, Han, thank you so much. And I know that you've got to get going. I kept you on a little longer. Always a pleasure to chat. Always a pleasure to have you on. Congratulations on your new cellar door. Can't wait to see it in a few weeks' time. And look, just good luck with it with the next few weeks.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, definitely we'll catch you in a few weeks. And then hopefully we can finally do dinner when I'm up in Brisbane to work soon.
I am taking you up on that. I look forward to it. Thank you, hon. Bye.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.